They're still dark. I go in the dark. Well, good morning, Harvest family. Y'all come on in and have a seat. We'll get started. I want to introduce a couple to you, to our church family that maybe that are new members and that may not know the Thorntons. They were one of our missionaries that we support in Argentina. And they are back on a short furlough to visit some of their churches. And these are some of God's choice servants. How many years, brother, in Argentina? 33 years in Argentina. They have been traveling 30 of the last, 39, 41 hours. And so if they happen to nod off, you just be gracious and give them some time to adjust. They're going to be staying over in the prophet's room for a few weeks and getting their motorhome ready to do a little traveling to visit some churches, raise some additional support. They're going to be with us for a while. He'll be speaking with us on one of these Sundays coming up. I'm going to give him an opportunity to rest first and get fully rested, body and mind as well. But brother, you come and say hello and then open us in prayer if you would. Good to have you back with us, brother.
God bless. Buenos dias. This is my wife, Pam. We're glad to be here. Appreciate Pastor Cook and the church allowing us to stay in the missions department over here. It's a blessing.
Thank you.
Before Miss Michelle comes to sing for us, you have your Bibles. Let's go ahead and read our text, Luke chapter 22. And we will be working our way through the Luke chapter 22, chapter 23, and eventually 24 by Easter, Lord willing. And we look at this morning of the next parts and the gathering for the Passover, Luke chapter 22. We covered the first six verses last week, and today we'll cover verses 7 through 20. And I'll pray that I will stay on task and not get too excited and get ahead of what I know is coming a little later in the scriptures. Luke chapter 22, and let's begin reading in verse number 7. Luke 22 and verse number 7. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where ye have entered in, And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found him and said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. For this do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you."
You gave before, you've given it once more, but it still amazes me, how you knew I'd have this need. Before I knelt to pray, you had supplied your grace. I know 'tis mine, been there all the time, but it still amazes me, how you knew I'd have this need. Before I knelt to pray, you had supplied and made a way. It still amazes me, the love and grace you gave to me, grace you gave before, you've given it once more, but it still amazes me. That prayer that I prayed some years ago, that prayer when you told this child no, it is now that I can see it was best for me. But it still amazes me, how you knew I'd have this need. grace you gave before, you've given it once more, but it still amazes me.
Years of marriage and over 30 years in the ministry, it still amazes me what the Lord has done, is doing, and will do. Amen. You'll bear with me. I love that song, but it has a very special meaning in our lives. And no matter how many times I hear it, I still... It still brings me to tears. If you have your Bibles this morning, and we'll continue in our study and our journey through the book of Luke chapter 22. And we have read our text this morning. And here as we look at the Passover, it was yearly observed in this time of celebrating for the Israelites of their escape from Egypt. And because of its importance, Jerusalem would be filled with Jews from all over the world. All four Gospels record the Passover observance, which Christ and the disciples had in the upper room just prior to the crucifixion of our Lord. And this morning, if you'll join with me just for a little while, we'll look at a few things. Notice with me, first of all, there in verse number 15, the purpose of the gathering. And he said unto them, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Here we see a multiple purpose for him gathering with these men, and it was to have a meal and to memorialize both. The meal here with his disciples was involved with the Passover celebration, but it was meant to memorialize what had taken place and what would take place just in a few days. You see, the Passover meal was part of the annual memorial that Israelites were to keep according to Exodus chapter number 12. It was a celebration of the deliverance from Egypt through the last plague, which was the slaying of the firstborn of the Egyptians. It was a type of Christ and his work for our salvation. And dear friends, we are to get excited about Easter when it comes around. We're to get excited and rehearse and memorialize the day that we trusted Christ, and knowing because of what he did and he gave of himself and that he rose again, that we can have eternal life. The purpose of the gathering. And then number two, notice the place of the gathering. I mean, very specific here. See, Christ and his disciples needed a place for 13 to eat the Passover meal here in verses 9 through 13. They sought and they went. Notice with me, they sought in verse 9. Where wilt thou we prepare? See, the Passover meal was a place, the meal and place required preparation, and of course, much of it was ceremonial. So if they requested his instructions for the gathering for the Passover, where do we go? What do we do? And they requested, and dear friends, sometimes I think as we go before the Lord, and whether it be the Passover year coming, whether it be Easter celebration coming up, or just in seeking the Lord, Lord, where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? How would you have me to serve? But they sought, but then they were sent. They will. Where wilt thou that we prepare? See, Christ could have prepared the place before his disciples even got there. He prepared the room, but he didn't prepare it for the meal of the Passover. But he chose to involve them in finding and preparing the place for the Passover. Dear friends, I'm so glad that God chose us to go out and to reach others for the cause of Christ. The Bible says he could have had the rocks call out, but he decided to send us two by two and to send us out and to go that we might tell others about Christ, to make preparation for his coming. But notice, as I mentioned in pairs, he sent Peter and John to prepare the Passover. See, the Gospel of Luke is the only gospel that tells us who the two disciples were that were sent out to ready the upper room for the Passover. And dear friends, let me tell you something. If you serve the Lord, you may not get recognition. It's not so much important of who that went to do it. What was important is the task was accomplished that God requested. That the Lord, that God through His Son requested. Now this one gospel may say who, but the others do not. And again, we may not always get the recognition, and we should not be looking for the pat on the back. We should not be looking and say, hey, look at me, but just a desire of saying, if we say, hey, Lord, use me. Just be ready and prepared to serve without recognition. As he prepares and he sends them in, we see that he sends them out by pairs, but there was the providence, the pursuit, and the proclamation through the provisions and the preparation. There in verse number 10, we see the providence. When ye enter into the city, there shall meet you, where there be a man to meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Dear friends, when we obey the Lord, we often witness amazing circumstances. I mean, he said, you just go, and when you get there, you'll meet somebody, you'll know who it is, and you just follow him. And dear friends, we need to keep our sights on the Lord and make sure that we're following him and following those that the Lord allows in our life to mentor and encourage us, because one day we will be the ones doing the mentoring that others may follow. So let me ask this morning, and sometime during the week, if somebody followed you, would you lead them to the right place? The providence. Again, there in verse 10, we see the pursuit. He says not to just find him, but follow him into the house where he entereth. You see, there was no directions or GPS is needed. They followed the man until he entered the house. Dear friends, how was our mind, our heart? The heart of our mind, our heart, our GPS, our inner thoughts and minds, how are they calibrated into the Lord, into following him to where he sends us? I am so glad we have the Thorntons here with us today. I'm glad to know and to hear that 30 years they spent their time on the mission field there in Argentina and preparing to go back. But they went and they've stuck it out and they stayed with it because God called them and God sent them. Dear friends, I believe there's many Christians across the world today that had the very calling of God in their life on where to go and what to do, and they didn't do it. Let's be prepared to follow him. And in verse 11, we see the proclamation as he speaks of the purpose. Say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? You see, when God gives us commands, we are to proclaim it whether it seems fitting or not. He's held them to go, someone they've never met, follow him, ask him when you get there, where is the room the master asked for the Passover, and the preparations were there. God had already laid the way. Dear friends, when God leads us and God guides us and has us to go to a certain place to do a certain thing, I believe he pre-prepares and makes things ready. There's no doubt in my mind that God made no mistake when he asked Brother Steve and Miss Pam to go to Argentina. Their makeup of who they are, their personalities, their willingness to learn a culture, their willingness to go and do what the Lord would have them to do was what God chose to use in the country of Argentina. Just like he does across other countries, just like he does across this lane here with placing pastors where they minister in churches. And we see the preparation in verse 12. The provision, it says first, he shall show you a large upper room furnished. Furnished. Following the commandments of God will always lead us to those provisions. And then a little further in verse 12, there make ready. Everything they needed except for the preparation of the ceremonial portion was there. All the makeup, the room was there. All they needed is what the men would need to provide to there for the ceremonial portion that I'm sure that Christ would bring with him as well. They enjoyed the providential working of God, but that did not exempt them from their duty. They not only had to locate the place, but they also had to prepare it for the meal that God had sent them to do. Dear friends, I am so glad when God gave them the command, they were ready to go. They sought, they were sent, but they submitted. They said, yes, Lord. In verse 13, it says, they went, they made ready the Passover. The disciples were given instructions from Christ, and they obeyed. Dear friends, are we obeying the commands of the Lord? I want to challenge you, encourage you, not right now, but after lunch, to take a look again at your bulletin and look at the devotion for this week. read over it and ask the Lord, Lord, does this help me, describe to me where I am, where I'm going, or what I need to be doing? So many Christians today are getting away from the Lord. They're pulling back from the things of God, feeling like for some reason, I just don't know, but when they should be moving forward and still going forward in service and living for the Lord. And friends, when we pull back, and we're not doing the things that we know that God would have us to do. Do you realize there are some things in the Bible that's the will of God for every Christian? And there are other things that are more specific will of God for each of us individually. And we all need to make sure that we, when we're not providentially hindered, that we're faithful to the house of God, we're faithful in His Word daily, we're faithful in prayer, and we're faithful to be the witness, the blessing and encouragement to those around us and those that we meet. These men submitted to what the Lord would have them to do. We see here as they submitted, we see the conforming and the confirming of their submission. They not only did the exciting part of the discovering the providence of the Lord, but they also did the working part, which was preparing for the Passover meal. Folks, I don't know about you. If I've been walking with the Lord and I spend all the time with Him and He tells me to go in, that I'll find this man, I'm to follow him, go in the house and ask these questions, I don't think I would have a problem because I'd already seen all the miracles. But I think I would be excited about who this man would be. Which house would it be? What kind of place will it be? Maybe those questions were running with their head, but they obeyed, they conformed to the Lord, and they went, but they went beyond that. They did what He asked them to do in the preparation. In verse 13, and not only the conforming, but the confirming, they went and found as He had said unto them. I wonder how much we miss out on the blessings that God has for our life. We miss out on the miracles that we can see because we don't conform to what God wants us to do. Dear friends, if you want to confirm the will of God, you will have to obey the will of God. You see, the revealing will come when you do the will of God that you already know to do. See, God leads each of us specifically, sometimes corporately and sometimes separately. But He leads and He guides, and we must ask our Lord, are we submitted in doing what you would have us to do? The purpose and the place. Dear friends, what is the purpose in your life that God has to use you to tell others about Christ? What is the place, or where is the place that God wants you to plug in and to be involved? You see, every local church needs a variety of servants willing to serve in the church. Everywhere, I mean, dear friends, everywhere through the church. I mean, teachers, nursery workers, people working on the land on the outside, those working cleaning up on the inside, those making visit calls, following up, those being encouragers, greeting at the door, or just whatever it needs to be done, those serving, preparing for fellowships, cleaning up afterwards, or again, just being that encourager and contacting people, talking to people, and helping them to be and feel received. That's all working together in the will of God in a place that God has called us. The purpose, the place, and number three, the participation here at the gathering in verses 4 through 16. Here in verse 14, we see the very moment. When the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. See, Christ was on a schedule. He had a timetable of all things that needed to be done. And dear friends, I believe God's people need to be more punctual, more prepared, and more ready to serve and be available to the use of our Lord. Not only we see the moment, but we see the men in verse number 14 as well. He says the 12 apostles with Him. See, among these 12 were some of the greatest men to ever live, and one scoundrel. I believe every church has one scoundrel. I believe every church has some great men and women that want to be used of the Lord. Hopefully we don't have any scoundrels of this flavor of Judas. Some had dramatic conversions. Some of them had various backgrounds, from fishermen to tax collectors and zealots who could have turned out to be very radical, and somewhat were, but changed when they trusted Christ as their Savior. Dear friends, it was an interesting group of men. And dear friends, every church has an interesting group of people, of men and women who come together for a common cause in serving the Lord. Here, as we look at this participation, He had the men and He had the very moment prepared, but He also had a message. Christ spoke some relevant words to the disciples over the Passover meal. Notice His passion in verse 15. With desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you. Christ had desires few church members have, but need. We are often more interested in a ball game than spiritual matters, such as the Lord's Supper and its meeting. Dear friends, this passion of Christ, I have desire with great desire to eat with you this Passover. Dear friends, he has that same desire to commune with us on a regular basis. The door is wide open. The throne is there. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. We have a right of way and no concern, as I like to cut up once in a while with our four-way stops here in Arizona. There's no intersection to be concerned about. We have a direct right-of-way to the throne of grace that we can go to him. And dear friends, we need to take advantage because he has a message for us, that passion. And then we also see his pain in the latter part of verse 15. He says, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The disciples did not understand. They weren't following him. They didn't understand what he meant by suffering, but he warned them repeatedly about the crucifixion. They just remembered all the good things and the exciting things of what was next, but couldn't quite comprehend his crucifixion, his passion, his pain, and then his prediction in verse 16. I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This word here, fulfilled, is a key word here. Christ saw fulfillment, the evidence of the divine word in his ministry. There are times when it looks like adversity will stop the fulfillment. But dear friends, the confidence of Christ shows that nothing can or ever will stop God's plan. It makes no difference what's going on in our world today. God has a plan. He's still on the throne, and nothing's going to change it. The very plan of knowing that he would be betrayed, knowing that he would be crucified, and knowing that he would rise again, nothing would change. Nothing would stop God's plan. It was in motion. And dear friends, even today, God still has a plan. And we are part of that plan to be used of him and serving one another and ministering to one another and to others as well. The purpose, the place, the participation. And then fourthly and lastly this morning, I believe the practice here at the gathering in verses 17 through 20. See, a new practice was instituted. We call it the Lord's Supper and some call it communion, which we observe in our churches today. Christ gave us a pattern for this practice, again later through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 through 29. Unfortunately, many things have been attached to the observance by false religions and traditions, which have confused the purpose and the meaning of the observance of the Lord's Supper. He says, as oft as we do, we are to do this in remembrance of him. The shed blood represented by the fruit of the vine, that unleavened bread representing his broken body that he gave for us. Notice the context and the practice he established. He said, after supper, in verse number 20. Mark said the Lord's Supper was observed as they did eat. Mark 14:22. And Luke says, after supper. This tells us it was observed at the end of the Passover meal, later in the day. And then we see as part of this, not only the context, but the cup in verse 17 and verse 20. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Likewise, also the cup, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood, which is shed for you. Yes, that cup was the fruit of the vine, the juice that was used here at the supper. And we see the blessing as he says, he gave thanks. The thanksgiving here is not for food, but for the blood of Christ that was shed for you and I. And then we see the bestowing. He says, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now, this is a little humorous, but some of you appreciate that. This is a pretty good verse for those who do not appreciate the practice of the common shared cup passed around the room. But he says, take this and divide it among you. And then he explains to them or gives them the briefing. This cup is the New Testament and my blood, which is shed for you. Christ tells the disciples the meaning of the cup. It represents the blood shed by Christ for the remission of sins. And dear friends, there's still folks that need to hear about the shed blood of the remission of sins. There are still folks around the world, not only here in Arizona, not only in neighboring states, not only in Argentina, not only in Asia and Africa and beyond in the Middle East. There are still many that need to hear about what Christ had done for them. And as we memorialize and we remember the goodness of God and what He has done for us, we need to remember we also need to be sharing and telling others what He has done. The context, the cup, and then the cake of bread representing His body in verse 19. He took bread. It was not bread as we know it today, but it was a flat piece of unleavened bread eaten at Passover meals. He gave the blessing, and the Bible says again in verse 19 that He gave thanks once again. Giving of thanks precedes both the cup and the cake. And then we see the breaking, as the Bible says in verse 19, that He break it. So many things, my friend, have to be broken before they are used or useful to God and even unto man. Dear friends, it won't be long before we'll be observing the Lord's Supper here at Harvest. And I want to remind you of the aspect of the blood that was shed and His body that was broken. And yes, sometimes that also means us. There's some things in our life that might need to be broken. Michelle sang of the song early that still amazes me. In a time of our life where Michelle and I felt like God had broken us and wondered if we'd ever be repaired or useful to be used of God again. But that was wrong thinking on our part. That was just God preparing us that we might better minister to others that are going through hardships and difficulties or feel broken in their life. And dear friends, there's no answer. There's nowhere else to go to but then the lowly Jesus to comfort us and encourage us in helping us through this process. And He's trying to prepare these men for what will come as He gives the cake of bread and the blessing and the breaking and the bestowing. And as He briefs them, He warns them, God wants our body for His service. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. See, Christ briefs the disciples on what this bread symbolizes. Romans tells us in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Dear friends, where are we at in our life? Where are we at in our service? We should, at times we need to be reminded, but reading a passage like this and going over, knowing what's to come, those of us who read our Bible, those of us who have been through the Gospels, we know the good news is coming, but the preparation of what's going on, getting on the edge of our seat, getting excited and knowing what's going on, the Passover meal, the meal with the disciples, and later his betrayal, His crucifixion, but then He rose again for the sins and the remission of sins of the whole world. But there was a process. And dear friends, even today, there is a process in our life as we walk and share our faith and live for the Lord for others to watch and observe. Do they see enough in our life to draw them and to bring them to Christ? And notice lastly, the comments in verse 18. He says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Dear friends, the coming of Christ's death is involved in this comment right here. But it does not end with His death, for there is a glorious future ahead. We are to get excited and not to be too overwhelmed and too overly concerned, but at the same time, we also need to remember not to jump too quickly to the resurrection. We want to celebrate that coming up here later in March, but until then, the gathering, and as we gather together on a weekly basis, as we gather together in the house of God, as we gather together in fellowship, as we gather together and doing things together as a church family, collectively and individually, we need to make sure that often, as we enjoy our time together, but there's also some time about the goodness of God and being grateful and thankful for the relationships, our church family, and what the Lord has done for us. What are the kind of comments that we are making when we're around others? We're sitting down, as we like to call it, and breaking of bread over a meal and fellowshipping. What are our comments about our relationship with the Lord and the things of God? He says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Dear friends, it doesn't end here with His death, but there is, as I mentioned, a glorious future ahead.
Next week, we'll go a little further in reference to the gathering and more things that were done and prepared and later his betrayal. But until then, let me ask this morning, as we rehearse and we think about this spring season and Easter being just around the corner, and as we gather together, let's make sure that we're listening as God speaks to us. Let's make sure if God is encouraging us to reach out to someone, to go meet someone, and to follow his instructions, that we're following up and we're doing the things that God asked us to do. Let me share with this before we close. Marlene, you can make your way. Has the Lord ever impressed upon your heart to communicate with someone? Has the Lord ever impressed upon your heart to pick up something, or you're reading a card and it makes you think of someone? Maybe that's the Spirit of God speaking to you to minister unto that individual, to go to that place, to do that thing that God would have you to do. I wonder sometimes if we have lost our sensitivity of the wooing and the speaking of the Holy Spirit. I know him. I've received him. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But folks, there's more after that. There's more before he comes. Are we allowing him to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to make a difference? Is our life here on earth a celebration of what Christ has done for us? Is it a time of joy, of serving one another, fellowshipping with one another, or is it just a thing of settling, of knowing, well, I know my past, I know my present, I know where I'll be in eternity, and that's enough for me? Oh, think of those who will never hear the gospel, that attitude of a Christian. Think of those who will never know what it's like to commune and come around the Lord's table with Christians who are not willing to go and to be sent and to follow the Lord as he leads them. Dear friends, I trust and pray today, if we look at the gathering of the Passover and continue on next week, if we look at the purpose and we'll evaluate the purpose of our life. As we look at the place or that place of the gathering, are you gathering on a regular basis to worship and to minister? As we look at that participation at the gather, are we participating of the gathering in the place that God has given us? And then the practice, are we putting into practice what God has taught us through his word, with the Spirit of God and how he's led us and what he would have us to do? Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one look around this morning. Our pianos will play and we'll have a verse or two of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart in any capacity this morning, why not right where you're at or here at an altar, why not come and pray and ask the Lord what he'd have you to do? Or come and thank the Lord for the speaking to you and guiding you and directing you in your life. We're here today for a gathering. But let's not forget, it's the Holy Spirit that's in our midst. All because of what God has done in sending his Son for the remission of sins. Father, bless this time. Speak to the hearts of your people. May they respond and be obedient to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed just for a moment. You do business with the Lord as he has spoken to you this morning.